Praise be Jesus and Mary. In the first reading from the book of Exodus, we have the establishment of the Passover feast taking place in the Old Testament and serving as a prefigurement of the Lord's Supper. In fact, the celebration of the Passover among the Jews will find its definitive meaning, as the Catechism says, at the Lord's Supper. By celebrating the Last Supper with his apostles in the course of the Passover meal, Jesus gave the Jewish Passover its definitive meaning. And so all of that that took place before was meant to prefigure what was to come. Right? It finds fulfillment this night in this celebration that takes place this evening. Jesus' passing over to his Father by his death and resurrection, the new Passover, is anticipated in the supper and celebrated in the Eucharist, which fulfills the Jewish Passover and anticipates the final Passover of the church and the glory of the kingdom. So, although the definitive meaning of the old Jewish Passover is established at the Lord's Supper and is fulfilled at the Lord's Supper, that too will find its consummation, anticipates the final Passover of the church, when the church passes over into the kingdom of glory, the kingdom of the Father. In these last days of Holy Week, last days of Lent, the Sacred Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then the Easter Vigil, we should try and meditate on all the mysteries that are taking place in the context of love. Right? God is love. He has made us in his love, and he calls us to love. This is what we are made for. This is what our perfection consists in. And so we should try and see all of the mysteries taking place in this context of God's love for us, of our love for God, or our lack of love for God, particularly evident in the case of Judas the traitor. And so tonight's gospel says, "The Lord, having loved those who were his own, loved them to the end." We see how the culmination of the love of the Sacred Heart is taking place in these 3 days. It is arriving at its maximum. This is what the Sacred Heart of Jesus longed for, desired with an ardent desire throughout his earthly life. "With desire, I have desired to eat this Pasch with you." Right? That's the language that Scripture describes of the desire of the Sacred Heart. "With desire, I have desired to eat this Pasch with you. I have a baptism with which I need to be baptized, and how I am straitened until it be accomplished." Right? All of this longing and yearning to consummate his love for us and for the Father. And so our Lord, having loved his own, loved them to the end. Right? We want to be able to say the same thing at the end of our life, right? When we're on our deathbed with regard to our families, with regard to our neighbor, and especially with regard to God. Having loved all of these, that we love to the end, to the moment when we breathe our last. So here we have a model to follow. As our Lord says in the gospel, "I have given you a model to follow me." So there are 3 mysteries that we are considering in particular this evening: the institution of the Eucharist, the institution of the priesthood, and the commandment of the Lord concerning fraternal charity. And it can be very easily seen how love, the love of God, the love of man for God, or the lack of love of man for God, enters into all of this mystery. Okay, the consummation of our Lord's love, establishing the priesthood, in order that the Eucharist may continue throughout time. What a great gift, the sacred priesthood. How thankful we ought to be for it, and how we should be earnestly praying for vocations, and even encouraging our own children in their discernment. You know, these incredible gifts of God that we can so easily take for granted. Oh, I have a Catholic parish near my home. I can make it to Mass every day, no problem. And especially on Sundays, I don't have a problem. Do you know there are already places here in America where people don't have the gift of daily Mass? There are parishes in our own diocese in this very town that don't have Mass every day, right? That's significant. That should shake us up and not take these gifts of God for granted, the priesthood, the Holy Eucharist. They are gifts of His love, but we must respond and correspond with generosity, with gratitude, and with our own love. For priests, pray for your priests. Pray for their perseverance and sanctification. Pray for many holy vocations. The Eucharist, of course, is the maximum. Jesus Christ Himself, burning furnace of charity in the tabernacle, there for us, day and night. Again, as the Catechism says, the Eucharist remains the center of the church's life. Everybody should know that. When you're asked, you know, what's your faith all about? It's all about the Eucharist, the center of the church's life. The source and summit of the Christian life, says the Catechism. The source and summit of Christian life. You see how our spirituality on a daily basis ought to be Eucharistic. Do we find a love, a devotion to our Lord's real presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity as part of our spirituality, as the center of our spirituality? If not, then maybe we're a little off. The Eucharist is the sum and summary of our faith. Again, from the Catechism. It's all of these things just underlining the central importance of the most blessed sacrament, the maximum gift that God could give. St. Augustine will say, God, although He is omnipotent, can do all things, can give no more of Himself than the Eucharist. That is it. Because in giving us the Eucharist, He gives us Himself, infinite treasures, all there for us. But as with every gift, there also comes responsibility on our part, responsibility in receiving the gift of the Eucharist. First responsibility is receiving worthily. Let's not be caught in the state of mortal sin coming up to receive the Blessed Sacrament. Now, there's a very active ministry of bringing communion to the sick. That is wonderful. Does anybody think of bringing confession to the sick, to the elderly, to the homebound? We really ought to. And we ought not to presume that old people can't commit serious sins. Okay, year after year, they're homebound or in a nursing home or in the hospital. and we're bringing them communion. Do we ever think to encourage them to go to confession? Because our first responsibility with this gift of the Eucharist is receiving worthily. Now, we read the second reading from St. Paul, 1 Corinthians, and a little further on in that reading, he says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner," that is, while in the state of mortal sin, "will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord." So the bread of life becomes the bread of death. St. Paul says, you eat and drink your own condemnation. So we do no one a favor by bringing communion to them if they're not in the state of grace. We ought to be bringing them confession first and frequently. Confession. This, of course, applies to each and every one of us as well. And this is why the Church establishes certain norms, kind of bare minimums, underneath which is death. Right? The precepts of the Church require us, and this should be spoken of during Easter time and during Lent, the obligation to confess one's serious sins at least once a year. You see how the Church establishes a bare minimum for the salvation of souls. The Church says you must receive Holy Communion at least once a year. Why? Because our Lord said it is necessary for salvation. St. John chapter 6, our Lord says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not such as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." You see how it is necessary for salvation? And so the Church says at least once a year. Otherwise, death. All right? So with every gift, there is responsibility. And so with this maximum gift of the Eucharist, maximum responsibility. Now, our Lord gives us the gift of the priesthood, the gift of the Eucharist, so that he may abide in us, and that his love may abide in us, and that love may pour forth towards our neighbor in humble service toward our neighbor. And this is what our Lord does for us at the Last Supper as well, by girding himself with a towel and washing his disciples' feet. Okay, again, these are the last moments that our Lord is spending on this earth. The apostles now have been with him for 3 years, okay, being instructed by the Son of God. So in this most solemn moment, he's kind of summarizing everything that he wanted to teach them. And so here, the Son of God girds himself with a towel and washes his disciples' feet. Now, this is symbolic, okay? It isn't necessary that we literally wash each other's feet. We will do that up here. But again, it's meant to be symbolic of what? Humble, fraternal charity. And notice, Judas, the traitor, had his feet washed. Maximum humility and charity of our Lord. So you should be thinking about your neighbor. maybe those who are against you or offend you in some way, right? And mentally picture yourself washing their feet. If our Lord washed the feet of Judas, can we not wash the feet of our enemies, of our traitors, of our persecutors? Can we not humble ourselves and forgive them and pray for them? And so this is the message, the model. Right? Our Lord says it explicitly. He says, I have given you an example to follow. Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am, because he is teaching them most solemnly at this moment. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do. Right? Our Lord is speaking to everyone who calls himself a Christian, a follower of Christ. He's saying, I have given you a model. And so this is the model of fraternal charity that we should put before our eyes. Humble, charitable service. May Our Lady, the Mother of Priests, the Mother of the Most Blessed Sacrament, grant us this grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christus.